With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watch you struggle and I watch you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Correct, Jordan Hare Stadium. Time is 8:27 p.m. Your digital audio device tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by the good folks at collegeandmagnolia.com, part of the SB Nation Galaxy of Stars. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter. To one side of me, amateur statistician, grill master, the engineer, Ryan Sterrett.
Got some more baseball to talk, Crow.
Absolutely. To the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR right into the microphone. A man who's seen 30 Seconds to Mars 6 times and who thinks the best show he saw of theirs was in Montgomery. AU Chief.
Provejito and Altum.
Greetings, Orange and Truthers. Tonight, we got a lot to talk about, but the first thing we're going to talk about is your Auburn baseball Tigers, who did a little bit of baseball in this past weekend, scored some runs, made some numbers on the board, made some crooked letters and some innings, crooked numbers and some innings, which is what you want. And on to talk.
Not a ton of strikeouts.
Not a ton of strikeouts. Which, yeah, it's a good. It was a good bit of baseball.
Exciting baseball. More strikeouts than losses, though.
That's true.
And here to talk about it, joining us on the Vox Media hotline that I just named, is Drew McCracken. Hey, Drew.
Hi, guys. How are we?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, Drew.
Doing fantastic. Much better than I was this time last week. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. So, Drew,
for sure.
When this season started, the first question I have, and then I'll open it up to these other guys, is did you see this from this team at all? Did you think, okay, regional champ, going to a super regional?
So, at the beginning of this season, my actual goal for this team, if you will, was to host a regional. This had the makings of a team that could compete for a super regional on the blush preseason. So to answer your question, yes. But if you say, well, you know, am I including the majority of the season from what I saw from this team? Absolutely not. This was not a super regional ball club, let's say, during the Texas A&M weekend. This was not a team that had the pitching depth. It didn't have the runs, the offense that you needed. It didn't even have the defense for the most part, as they were half they were in the middle of the pack in the SEC in defensively. So to answer your question, yes, but with everything that we were able to add on during the season, absolutely not.
Yeah, so Drew, I mean, this, like you said, this team had plenty of talent, but you had kind of told us all season, you know, wait till next year. It's a young team and a lot of talent, but it's just they're not – you weren't sure if they were ready yet. And all the way up through the end of the regular season, that's kind of where we thought they were. Even just won the one game in the SEC tournament. But what clicked, do you think, in this regional for them to
– well,
number three national seed?
Yeah. It was a bit of a mashup of different things. I think, like I said the last time I talked with you guys, I was really just looking for Auburn to get that one win in Hoover. After the LSU game, you know, I feel like I kind of let you guys down, not being as upset as I was how that game ended. That Auburn was bounced from the SEC tournament in our little group chat. That was probably the best thing that could have happened for this team. It was a shocking loss, a shock to the system loss. It was done in a way that will never, ever happen again. more than likely. But it also allowed 8 days of rest and recuperation and team building. Just at the beginning of last week, before real preparation started to go to Atlanta, the team went up to Butch Thompson's lake house up at Lake Martin. They went fishing. They relaxed. They built those bonds that were made in the fall and in the winter practices, and rekindled those and just got back to team unity and believing in one another. And I think you really got to see that this weekend. They came out with a purpose against Coastal Carolina, putting up their biggest run total in months, putting together hits, trusting each other. You saw, pitching performances, which will lead me into the one thing that you guys know following sports is in the postseason, you have people step up that haven't stepped up all year. You got to see, namely, Stephen Williams, who hit the three-run bomb Saturday night, who got the two-run single to really put Auburn ahead and was essentially the winning runs on Sunday as well. But you also got to see a guy like Rankin Woolley, who had a really great regional. I think he went 5-for-13 with about 5 runs scored or 5 runs batted in. And also did a couple of great digs over at first base. And then, of course, Judd Ward, throwing out people from Duluth.
Yeah, the wildest thing I've ever seen.
Good grief. I'm not sure what that guy was thinking.
Auburn might be the only team with a top 10 play and a not top 10 play in the same sports center in, following weeks.
Yeah.
Because that absolutely. The LSU game, well, that's a not top 10 winner. I don't think it's in the sports center. I haven't watched sports
center. And then you throw in Stephen Williams both on Friday and Saturday. Friday, he caught a home run and literally lost his glove over the fence against Coastal Carolina, and then gave Georgia Tech or allowed the inning to continue against Georgia Tech.
Well, yeah.
Gave Tech 4 runs.
That first Tech game was really frustrating because it felt like we had not gotten over the whole thing with LSU.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were we just kept making mistake after mistake. I think Will Holland had 4 errors by himself.
I believe it was 3, but he could have been called for 4. But no, you're absolutely right.
That home run was shades of Jose Canseco, ball bouncing on his head. Which I was at that game, by the way.
Were you?
Yeah. My claim to baseball fame.
Yeah, that's interesting.
It would make a lot of sense if Crow's whole background in baseball was just from watching Jose Canseco.
Well, I'm a Rangers fan. So Canseco, Palmeiro, all those guys.
But yeah, when you look at Stephen Williams, just his career, this is still a guy that's learning right field. This is only his close to 100th game ever.
It's 20 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been playing right field for, right at about 100 games. When he was a catcher by trade and was one of the top catchers coming out of high school 2 years ago, he had to tell major league clubs not to draft him as a catcher because he was going to go to Auburn. So he's still learning the position, but as you could tell this weekend, he knows how to swing the bat. But it's guys like that. I know you guys love Richard Fitz, we saw what he was able to do and really doing the Auburn bullpen a huge favor by eating up 6 innings, which ended up, and keeping Georgia Tech within arm's reach, which ended up being the swing of the entire regional.
Right. That basically won us the regional. Him going those 6 innings and us not having to bring anybody else in. And really, I think we played it that way because it looked like we were going to lose the game.
No, you're absolutely right. Auburn, just looking back, revisionary history, if you will, that was the absolute move. Put in a guy. It was either going to be Richard Fitz or Brooks Fuller. And Steve Smith and Butch Thompson decided to go with Richard Fitz there and just let him go until he started to break down. The thing was, he never broke down. He ended up having a great game, going 6 innings. allowing, I think, just or not allowing a run, as the last run for Tech was off of Tanner Burns. But yeah, and speaking of Burns, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season that Auburn will win a regional, but Davis Daniel and Tanner Burns only go three innings in that regional, I would have said we have to score 40 runs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a surprise for the pitching really was surprising. And Drew, real quick, can you do a quick preview of our super, unless you guys have another question about the regional, but preview of the super regional?
One second. I did want to ask one thing.
Sure.
Yeah, so one of the guys I don't feel like anybody's been talking about that had a really good regional and seemed like he had a great freshman year was Ryan Bliss at second base.
Oh, dude, he's definitely the freshman of the year.
Right. Like he's been good almost every time I'm watching a game. He's making a play. Mm-hmm. He's having a big hit.
Is he in relation to Cody Bliss?
No, I don't think so.
I know.
Do we say Boom It Bliss Boom It when he comes to
I
bat?
I've thought about it.
God, we should say that.
Drew used to do that with him, I guess. Yeah, Drew, how surprising is that? I mean, was he a highly regarded prospect? I mean, were we expecting him to just be the starting second baseman and be really good this year?
He was, to overall answer, it's a little bit weird because Auburn, especially Auburn fans that are getting into baseball in the past 2 years, which, you know, that those are the 2 years to really get in on the ground floor, as opposed to 2004 and 2003 when I did. You're talking about a guy that was drafted 20th in the 20th round by the Red Sox. He really wanted to come to Auburn. He loved the coaching staff, loved the university. He's from LaGrange, just right up the road.
Central Phoenix City guy or Smith Station?
No, he's actually LaGrange, Georgia.
Okay, all right.
Troop County High. That's right. for all the Georgia listeners. Bliss, Auburn's been spoiled with freshmen coming out and adapting to the college game very quickly. This is not normal, but it's something that Auburn needs. So when you look at Edouard Julian, when you look at Tanner Burns, when you looked at Stephen Williams, when you looked at all those freshmen from last year and then get another one this year, and both Ryan Bliss and Cason Howell, to be completely honest, it's absolutely shocking at how good Ryan Bliss was and his demeanor and the leadership role he's really taken on this team, even as a freshman. And, you know, when you look at stuff like the MLB draft that's going on right now, Alabama's already had a top prospect loss off their recruiting class.
You hate to see it. You just
hate to see it
for those guys.
But that's sort of the mold that Auburn's looking for. Very mature high school kids that can come in and step in now because we need, you know, just with the recruiting situation in college baseball, Auburn needs these guys to step up now and do it now and be as mature as they can. So for Ryan Bliss to come in, if Ryan Bliss is not there, I'm not sure if Auburn makes it to the NCAA tournament this year. Right. I feel very firm in saying that.
Yeah, right. Just between his defense and his bat, that makes total sense.
Now, real quick, let's preview the Super Regional. You can take your time, I mean, real quick, but just we're playing the Carolina Tar Heels. How do they compare with the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets that we just dispatched?
So you're talking about the ACC tournament champions, the team that beat Georgia Tech to win that ACC title. North Carolina's been kind of an interesting case study. They've been up and down this year, a very Jekyll and Hyde team. If there are any kind of just ancillary fans out there, they've had a season a lot like Clemson did. Except North Carolina really went out there and beat the really good teams, but more played to their competition. You kind of saw that this weekend with Tennessee on Sunday. Sure, North Carolina could have been laying up. It was their third game, yada, yada, whatever. Auburn didn't look stellar against Georgia Tech, but still got the win, you know, however you want to read into it. But it really depends on what North Carolina team shows up. Is it the North Carolina team that went out there and won the ACC tournament going away? Or do we get the North Carolina team that kind of struggled through a couple of weeks of ACC play and was kind of in the lower 20s at some point in the College of Magnolia poll that we put out each week, only to bounce back and end up as a host regional, but in the lower half of that host regional? I think Auburn matches up well with them. It's really going to depend on who Auburn starts and when. I think Auburn will go with a mix-up of Jack Owen, Richard Fitz, and Bailey Horn, as it's looking like Butch Thompson is going to shut down Tanner Burns. He just hasn't been able to get over that strained shoulder that he sustained at Vanderbilt. But the real question is, can the bats continue to pick up? Auburn got Steven Williams this weekend. They got Rankin Woolley this weekend. They got Ryan Bliss. But can Connor Davis come back? That's a bat that kind of left the lineup and just hasn't been able to figure it out, in just a little bit of a slump. Can Auburn get back Will Holland, who had a quiet weekend? Can Edouard Julian break out of what he's been going through this year and add those extra runs? That will be where can Auburn make it to Omaha? It's going to lie on the offense.
All right. So, what is your prediction if you had to put money on this game? If gambling was legal in this state, if you had to put money on this game.
I think it's online here in Tennessee, so I can actually do that. I hate to doubt this team because that's what we've been kind of doing all year. And they've come out and showed me up and beat Ole Miss, who is a super regional team. Should have beaten Arkansas, who's a super regional team. But I'm going to go Auburn gets the win on Friday night and really kind of stuns the North Carolina crowd. I'm going to give Saturday to North Carolina. And if Bailey Horn gives what he gave against Georgia Tech, I don't know if there's a team, and Auburn's offense can just get about 3 to 4 runs, just like they did this past weekend. I don't know if there's a team in America that can beat Auburn.
You heard it here first.
With that kind of lineup. There's just something about the home crowd and playing at home, and I don't know if you guys know this, but it's a huge deal to be the last at bat. So if Auburn wins the coin toss... If Auburn wins that coin toss and is the home team in game 3, I've got to give it to Auburn. Otherwise, I'm going to give it to North Carolina.
You had me at there's no team in America that can beat Auburn. That's the part that I like the most.
Especially a team in powder blue in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and North Carolina usually loses to Auburn in the Sweet 16 of spring sports.
I believe one Charles Barkley has already made that happen. I think we need to get Charles and Kenny back. To watch this game again. Yeah. We need them at this series.
We should at least have Frank Thomas there. What's he doing these days?
Yeah, can we have Frank Thomas and whoever the best North Carolina player is? Or just some random North Carolina player?
Yeah, exactly. Kenny's not the best North Carolina player. Kenny's just a guy who is there for
he's
a while.
He's just get Roy Williams to sit and watch the game with Frank Thomas.
Anybody who went to North Carolina. You guys probably already knew this, that Frank Thomas is the only... SEC player to be in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Which I thought for sure Will Clark was in the Hall of Fame, but I guess he's not.
Not yet.
My thought was, I wonder how many guys that played college baseball are in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I think Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro would be in the Hall of Fame, except for Juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jackson's probably pretty close, but...
He would have been if he'd stayed
If Bo had just had a baseball career, I think he'd be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Or if he had just had a football career and not played baseball, he'd be in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's true, too. The Judd Ward throw reminded me of... I mean, Bo Jackson's the only other guy I can think of that could have done that.
Right.
That you're pretty much right on there. That was a Bo-esque play. Again, those are the... When you go back and look at stuff like that, it's why I record. You guys internally know how weird I am about Auburn sports video and collecting all the video and everything like that. It's why I do stuff like that, because those hidden outs in baseball games are the ones we forget about in a couple of weeks, you're going to completely forget about Judd Ward throwing out a guy from the left field foul pole all the way to first base. But it's those kind of plays that save pitches in Bailey Horn that allow him to go to the end of the sixth and get it to Cody Greenhill.
I sent that video to my buddies who are not Auburn fans.
Yeah, I did the same.
And one of them said, that is a major league throw and a first grader run base running.
Yeah. No, he's not wrong. He is not
unbelievable.
Wrong.
Unbelievable. All right, Drew. Thanks so much for being on. We loved having you, and we'll hopefully have you on again next week. Actually, we will have you on next week, either to talk about preview, what it was or preview.
We'll be previewing the Mississippi State game in Game 1 of the College World Series.
Oh, there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
Speaking of Will Clark, how do you like that analysis?
Yeah, speaking of Will Clark. All right, see you later, Drew.
Thanks, guys.
All right, now we're moving right along into our show notes filled. I didn't want to cut Drew off. We could just have talked to him the whole show. Maybe we'll do that next week.
All right. I mean, if we're going to the
I'm sure he knows Omaha, at least as
we're
much
talking
about.
To, we're going to talk to Drew about baseball.
For sure. I might sit that week out. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so basketball. Jared Harper had a workout with the Phoenix Suns this week.
Yeah, I don't think we actually fully covered that Jared and Schumer are definitely not coming back.
Oh, yeah.
We already knew it, but we didn't really talk about how the deadline's up there in the draft. It's over.
I think we've said this a number of times, but I'm going to say it again because sometimes it takes people five times to hear it before they learn. I was told that by a coach one time. But apparently, It's probably told that five times.
Did it take you five times?
Probably took me five times to hear that. the thing about the NBA draft is that speed matters, shooting matters, defense matters, but age matters almost as much as all of those things. So getting a year older is a real mark in the negative column, unless you get way better at speed, defense, size, or shooting. And Jared's not going to get any better at any of those things next year, most likely. And he's not going to get any younger. And he's not going to get any taller.
Right.
Chuma would have to sit out probably with an injury until January.
Yeah.
And he's coming back after rehab. I mean, they're not going into SEC play and has to somehow be a better shooter, better defender. You know, that's just not going to happen. So this is the best case scenario for both of them, in my opinion. Anyway, Jared worked out with the Suns. That's a decent fit. But Ryan and I were talking off air about this. Jared has maybe been the sneaky working his way up draft boards player of this offseason. Every time you Google NBA draft or whatever, almost every little article mentions, hey, got to keep your eye on is Jared Harper from Auburn.
I have a feeling he... I don't think he did anything in any of these camps that anybody hadn't seen. I have a feeling that he has blown away the interview process with some of these teams.
I believe it.
That wouldn't shock me in the least.
His basketball IQ is off the charts, and when people talk to him about it, I guarantee you that has won him some fans.
I feel like Auburn fans, especially if you just started watching the last 2 years like I have, you kind of take for granted how well Jared ran the offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was – you don't see that very often, especially in college, where Bruce can just kind of let Jared just
– yeah.
He knows what's going on.
I'm a little nervous – I mentioned this in our group chat, but I'm a little nervous that next year's Auburn basketball season looks a lot like a John Calipari Kentucky season, where the first, like
– it's rough.
4 or 5 weeks, it's just like, this stinks. And
the problem with us will be – is we won't have the talent
John Calipari has. Five stars.
We've got a good talent, but we won't have all the 8 5 stars on the team to make up for that lack of cohesion.
One of the guys we're going to miss the most is Chuma. And Chuma, I don't know. I think it was Jeremy Hinn shared just a guy who's an NBA draft scout, has no affiliation with Auburn or whatever, but out of nowhere today went through this multi-tweet thread on highlights of Chuma Okeke. Like, holy cow, this guy is so good.
it's crazy that people are just finding this out.
And it's this defense. Well, the thing that's going to get, like, Auburn fans, when you think Chuma, you think game-winning shot against Georgia. You think a guy who was offensively spectacular against North Carolina. But the thing's going to get him drafted that defense.
I personally think of his ability to guard guards and post players.
Yeah.
That's the thing that worries me is we don't really have a two-way guy.
Like yeah. That. And the guy was going through highlights, and a lot of them were him showing that Chuma knew where the ball handler was going to go with the ball before the ball handler might have known it and was just in position to get a steal. And it wasn't like against. It wasn't showing the highlights from the Alabama State game or somebody like that. It was the Duke game. That was the game that he was breaking down because he was trying to break down Cam Reddish. And then all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, this guy, this five for Auburn, is just dominant.
That's great.
And he's trying to break down Cam Reddish and just realized, look, if Cam Reddish can't get the ball to his other players on his team when Chuma's on the court. Chuma's going to get drafted, guys. He's going to be a first-rounder, and Auburn's going to have his first-round pick in forever.
Yeah.
Almost 20 years.
Auburn's going to have the first draft with two players drafted, maybe ever.
Yeah. Have we ever had two?
I don't know.
Not in the two-round era.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Not the two-round era. Yeah, that is nuts to think that Auburn University might have two of the 60 best basketball players coming out of college basketball.
And might have another guy...
Yeah, I think Bryce will make a team. Bryce is going to get paid to play basketball next year, probably in the United States.
I would think so. His defense alone is going to get him signed by somebody.
Yeah,
his defense and his ability, he can shoot the three.
Yeah.
So as long as he can play defense and be a threat to score 3 or 6 points a game.
Now, in Europe, where the game's a little shorter, guys aren't as tall.
Oh, yeah. He could dominate.
He could play there forever. He could play in the Spanish league forever. He'd be really, really good in the Spanish league, actually. That's something. Speaking of which, I wanted to talk to you guys about this. I don't know if you saw a top five recruit in America for next year has decided to forego college basketball, and he's going to go play for the New Zealand Breakers the Australian Basketball League.
It's the worst places to live.
Well, what do you think? I mean, this guy is a top five recruit. His choices were Texas Tech and Kansas. And at his announcement, he's going to announce where he's going to play basketball. He said, "No, actually,
He pulled out the other New Zealand Breakers hat.
Play pro basketball. I'm going to go play pro basketball instead."
I mean, what a bummer for those two schools.
You lost out to a pro team as far away as you can get.
It is weird that more guys have not done that.
Well, I think that league specifically has started putting contracts in place specifically for top American high school one-and-done kids. Okay. So, he's probably going to make $200,000.
Yeah, I can see why.
Whereas the G League has put their one.
I can see why guys haven't really... That doesn't happen with Europe much. Because
It's a different thing. Games going to a country.
A little too physical to have an 18-year-old.
Europe ain't going to play you. Cause
it's another thing to go to another country when you're 18 that may or may not speak English.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, also...
Going to Australia, that's just like... That's a...
You might not be able to get a work permit in Europe.
That's true. And also, in the European league, the guy, when he announced, he said he used Luka Doncic as an example of somebody who played professionally overseas before coming right into the NBA. And no one told him, Luka started playing pro basketball as a 15-year-old overseas. It wasn't like he went over there for 1 year. He grew up over there.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was like, hey, I'm going to go do this.
Yeah, and it was in the academy.
Yeah, what I'm saying. He was probably in a professional academy.
They're not going to play a kid. Like Brandon Jennings, for instance, blast from the past, decided to go to college years and years ago and went to Italy to play, and they didn't play him.
Yeah.
He sat on the bench for a year and then got drafted by the Bucks, I think, in the first
round. He's getting paid to go practice basketball.
And Under Armour paid a bunch of money to wear shoes over there.
Yeah. So, and I don't
know. But this kid's going to get paid a couple hundred grand to go play in New Zealand.
Nobody's going to watch him play.
No. I mean, that league has got fans, but they're not as it's not as big of a league as any of the European leagues.
Right.
He'd have been better off in Europe. But he'll get minutes in New Zealand. He won't have to play for free, and he won't have to go to class.
We're gonna pay student athletes.
This is his study abroad.
This is his study abroad, and they speak English, which is some transition.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. It isn't like he has to go figure out how to order in Turkish because he's playing in Istanbul that week. Yeah,
the ladies can understand him.
The ladies can understand him. Yeah,
I'm sure that plays a factor.
The Sheilas, as they call them,
Sheilas, that's right.
So we got to commit. Bryce is working out with the Hawks.
Yeah,
we're talking about Bryce Brown working out with the Hawks. So he is going to get a work.
That'd be awesome if he signed for the Hawks. That'd be cool.
Keep him hometown.
That's the first mention I've heard of Bryce Brown with any sort of draft stuff, which made me kind of sad, is that the first mention I heard was he's working out with the Hawks.
Yeah, but he's a guy that'd be better off getting
a two-way or, yeah,
free agent deal.
Now, let's talk Javon Franklin. Now, this sounds like if you took two Auburn student-athlete names and just, like, put them in a generator.
Is this John Franklin that has just added a V to his name?
Or John Franklin got a lot taller, if that's the case. Yeah.
Javon Franklin is a 6'7 forward. I call him a 3. He's a wing. 6'7 wing, as they would call him in the new NBA. And he is from Holmes Community College, from Little Rock. Was a high school teammate of Alan Flanagan.
Played for Wes Flanagan's father.
Who's like a legend.
Yeah, I didn't realize that whole school was like the Flanagan school.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. He's 3 years eligibility because he didn't play last year. Year in JUCO broke his leg.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what his hops are like now after the broken leg, but the highlight video hops of him as a freshman, that dude can fly.
He's very wiry too. I know.
He's only about 200 pounds now.
Yeah. I think in his interviews with some of the media mentioned that he was they see him as a Chuma replacement, but he is not nearly as big as Chuma.
No, he's not nearly as tall. Chuma was 6'8" or 6'9".
And he's not as tall. He's not nearly as bulky.
Well, right. When you're recruiting, that's a good name to throw around. Oh, yeah, this guy that's about to be a first-round pick, you can play like him.
The guy he reminds me the most of is Malik Dunbar in terms of just...
A little bit. He's not the three-point shooter. He's not as bulky as Malik is.
Right.
Malik was a unit.
He couldn't play tight end for the Auburn Tigers football team.
He's a jumper, is what Javon Franklin is.
Yeah.
He's a...
Yeah. He actually was not a good three-point shooter. Looking at his stats from his freshman year, he was like a 17% shooter or something like that.
Ouch. But he is a defender. But
he averaged 10 and 8.
That's what I saw about him is he's a big-time defender.
So he's one of these guys that Bruce brings in as a 6'7" athlete who can defend.
Looks like he's got a huge reach, too.
Yeah.
He reminds me of several of the guys that Bruce had at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Bruce had a lot of those long, not necessarily big, but, you know, 6'7", really long, with like 12-foot wingspan or whatever.
And this is why I think Bruce Pearl, I think Auburn transitions really well. This is just...
I'll be upset if he doesn't wear a headband.
Oh, me too. I think Auburn will transition well when the one and done goes away.
Yeah.
Because Bruce actually does better than a lot of coaches at finding dudes like Javon Franklin. Who is not a one and done talent, but is a 6'7" defender who will play for Auburn for 3 years, like Malik Dunbar, or like Bryce Brown.
Chuma needed a couple of years to marinate.
Right. Yeah, if you can find some Chuma Okiki's, a guy who can go to the pros for 2 years.
Guy who's, I don't want this to sound bad, I don't think he was mature enough to go pro.
Well, he wasn't big enough. He bulked up after his freshman year.
Right, yeah. He wasn't physically.
He was like a 14-year-old when he got here. Like a grown man.
He was still big. He was still bigger than any of us.
I mean, this time last year, we were talking about Javon McCormick as some signee that we didn't really know anything about at a JUCO.
Yeah.
I mean,
the secret, or like the invisible man.
Ghost man, yeah. And now, you know, at the end of the season, people were talking about him like he was, you know, one of the better point guards in the SEC.
He's my most improved player award winner. We didn't actually do an award show. We should have.
And it went. He was like, he all of a sudden improved when we hit the postseason, which was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't terrible before. It's just he went from early in the season. And I was like, man, he was not ready for SEC basketball. But
Javon Franklin's going to be able to play this coming fall.
Right.
Which is unlike the other news we had this week of a guy named Deshaun Ruffin. Deshaun Ruffin is a 5'9" currently.
He's
a kid. Point guard.
Yeah, he's
because he's graduating high school in 2021.
Yeah, he's a rising junior now.
He's a sophomore in high school.
They're saying he's 5'9", which tells me he's probably about 5'7".
Right.
Yeah.
And so he could be 5'7" when he gets here, or he could be 6'4". You never know.
He's the number one player in the state of Mississippi.
He's number 4 point guard in the country.
And right. He can very highly touted. I mean, it's crazy that up until a couple seasons ago. I mean, a top 100 player is huge news.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. Whatever.
He's got a lot of Nate Robinson in his game, especially college Nate Robinson. I mean, just a freak athlete who just happens to not be very tall.
That was one of the things I noticed in his videos was over half of the highlights were him going to the basket.
Yeah, or dunking, or right, blocking a guy off the backboard. Stuff you don't imagine 5'9" guys doing.
And if he's 5'9" when he gets to Auburn, he's probably not doing that against SEC teams. But the fact that
also, I wonder exactly where he plays in Mississippi.
Jackson.
Jackson.
Is it a private school he's playing at?
Callaway High School.
If he's playing some other small private schools, then maybe he's just killing dudes.
A lot of the scouts at the EYBL tournament noted him as a sophomore, as one of the guys to watch. And just that he was one guy called him a certified bucket getter. Draft Express called him that. Like, this guy can very, just flat out score.
So again, technical term.
Exactly.
A very Nate Robinson, Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics one, not the Pistons one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm for it.
I'm for it.
Yeah, I'm for it.
Yeah,
this guy for signing the number 4 point guard in any class. I'm for it.
Yeah, I don't care how tall he is. We saw with Jared Harper. It doesn't matter.
The dude could be like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". I mean, he's literally what 16 years old.
16 years old. He's not going to get any shorter.
I didn't grow that much, but I had a friend of mine that I scoffed at after our freshman year because he's like, "Yeah, the doctor told me I was going to be 6'4". And I'm like, no way. There's no way. Because he was like 5'10", 5'11".
I love when doctors
play. The dude's like 6'4".
I love when doctors play like growth weathermen.
Yeah.
Hey, I think you're going to be 6'7". Yeah. I don't have to be right.
No, it's like with my brother. He was 4'11 in his freshman year. And they told him, 5'6 at most. He's 6'1 now.
Yeah.
They nailed it. They nailed it. They're like, I like when doctors stick to like prescribing medicine and like telling you what you do have, not what's gonna happen in 20 years. Kid's feet are big, he's probably gonna be really tall.
I think this diagnosis was because he went in for some bone issues with his legs. Because
he was growing so much?
Well, yeah, he had Hodgkin's Schlatter disease. Do you know what that is?
No.
I have that as well. It's where you're growing so fast, like the bones in your legs aren't fusing together at a good rate, so your legs hurt a lot when you run.
Wow. We're learning a lot really good way to get out of podcast.
Yeah, it didn't really get me out of any running.
Nah, that's too bad.
It's just like, suck it up. That's all you can do. But yeah, when you grow a lot around that, it's usually around your adolescence, then your legs will hurt a lot.
Now, Ryan, Chief, that's fascinating, but I'm going to move right along.
No,
Now, Ryan, I am going to ask you, remember last year when we were starting this podcast out, we were doing this, and we had no idea what we were doing, unlike now, which we're professional podcasters. We talked about how the off season was the quietest off season in history. We kept calling it that. Like, has anybody heard anything about football? We said that over and over again.
This tops it.
Yeah, this is
nothing.
The
is
quietest.
Happening. Nothing is happening.
I forgot we had a team until I ran by the stadium the other day.
The difference right now is that we're still riding off of basketball.
Yeah.
And now in baseball now. And we didn't, I mean, we had the Super Regional go for baseball last year. We didn't have a Final Four run in basketball. I think that's.
But have you heard kind of one thing, good or bad, about this football team this summer?
Specifically about the football team.
People just talking about how bad we're going to be this year.
I mean, you haven't seen anybody get arrested for spice. You haven't seen.
Come on, guys.
Nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you haven't seen it happen this year. You haven't seen any weird, like, coach gets fired in the middle of the offseason.
Speaking of June.
Ira Bowman reinstated.
Oh, yeah, it's Ira Bowman. Because that thing that didn't happen here was found to not have happened here.
Yeah, wow.
That's pretty amazing.
Shocking.
That was people got mad about that. They're like, oh, Auburn's dirty, whatever. Well, we knew it happened at a different school, and the investigation showed that that was the case. It happened at a different school, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Clearly, no one is paying to have their child put on a team here to get into the school.
Yeah, it's not a hard. It's not like it's not an Ivy League school to get into.
First of all, this is the South where you just donate the money to the school,
right?
Like, you're not going to go to some shady dealer of whatever. Yeah,
you don't have to go to some guy to forge a recruit site so your daughter gets a rowing scholarship that she doesn't deserve so that she can go to this private
school. The difference with this guy is apparently he got, like, they gave him a spot on the team.
Yeah, he had to dress down, and the kids, everybody on the team knew he could not play. No, that hasn't happened here.
What a wild thing. But, yeah, why not? Just
especially not in basketball. And it's also not like Penn wasn't competing
yeah.
for a national championship. Auburn was one of the four best teams in America last year. Right.
So yeah, it's not. It's
what if we found out that this Javon Franklin guy is just getting him into Auburn? He's not actually going to play.
Yeah. He's not actually going to play.
While it was a shady thing, it's not even like it benefited the program.
We found out Cole Blackstock's parents donated like a fortune to get him on the basketball team. Yeah, right.
I can see that happening.
No.
Not for Cole Blackstock. I'm just saying, take some bum walk on to.
Right.
But it would be so he could be on the team. It wouldn't be about getting into Auburn.
Right. Oh, that's true. It'd be like the kid's already into Auburn. And then, so
as much as I love Auburn, nobody cares about an Auburn credential. Like,
yeah. I love Auburn too.
Nobody cares about USC either, except for other socialites in LA.
Exactly.
UCLA is another school. What?
South Carolina?
Yeah, okay. That one. Exactly.
Nobody cares about it. Nobody calls it South Carolina USC except for people who are at
USCE.
Well, so anyway, it's the quietest football offseason, and we don't have any content to talk about in football. So we've kind of been going through the top 100 recruits.
Yeah.
And we're in that point on that.
Yeah,
on
we're trying to catch back up on that now. We kind of took last week off.
Of course.
But we hit 97 and 96 today.
I read the Neil Cottle one today.
Yeah.
It made me laugh. So I was like, oh, yeah, I remember Neil. I remember I had a friend told me that, remember that name? This kid's going to win the Heisman.
He didn't win the Heisman, but as James pointed out, he was a part of the most important play in Auburn history.
In Auburn history since 2000. And what did James say? Like, since 2000. Something crazy like that. I mean, like, you could make the case that it's the most important play in the history of the school because we won a national championship in the BCS era.
Yep.
But you could also say that the kick six was just as important because more people watched that replay than Wes Byram making a field goal.
We didn't win anything from it, though.
We won an ESPY. Come on.
Oh, my bad. Okay, that's as prestigious as the...
we won the Iron Bowl. The
Crystal Trophy.
And the SEC West.
And the SEC.
And the SEC.
I guess we did. Well, no, we didn't get the Foy ODK trophy. We did, but we didn't get it presented to us as we were supposed to.
Oh, right.
Because they chickened out.
Just a little bit of snow.
We won the Foy ODK trophy.
Yeah. Sportsmanship trophy.
Right.
It's pretty big.
If there's anything, it's huge. It's bigger than the World Cup trophy, as a matter of fact. It's like really small.
So is the Europa League trophy. Have you seen that thing?
Yeah, it's enormous. Well, okay, so this is my... Last day we're talking about. A Texan won a stage at the Giro d'Italia yesterday.
There you go.
But the guy who won the Giro, Campanas, is from Ecuador. He's the first Ecuadorian ever to win the Giro d'Italia. He's my hero of the week. That's what I'm calling it, hero of the week. Anyway.
Is that our segment now?
Yeah, because we don't have another sponsor to talk about. So, hero of the week, the guy who won the Giro. But the trophy for the Giro d'Italia... They're engraving it with his name on the podium. Like he's standing there waiting on it, and they're still like, all right, here you go. Handing it to him. And it's this massive spiral. It's huge. It is at least three times the size of the Tour de France trophy and five times bigger than the World Cup trophy.
It's pretty crazy.
And here's this guy who's probably...
World Cup trophy is as big as this microphone.
Yeah.
It's tiny.
So you got a guy who's like 5'8", 140 pounds, holding this massive gold spiral. Yeah, that's a good look.
Ryan Stair is my hero of the week for suggesting that we all put our rally caps on at Coyotes.
Nice. Shout out to Coyotes.
Georgia Tech game one. Right? Yeah.
Coyotes, future home of the East Alabama Dortmund Club?
Oh, no. Well, no. Coyotes will no longer be there soon. The new bar is called Southeastern.
Will it be the home of the Beef Al Bay East?
Well, if we talk to the right people, perhaps.
Okay.
I don't know.
We should make that happen.
Because they have to have employees open the thing.
But it's really early. It's true.
It's really early. Germany, you know, a lot of those games are like 11, which isn't so bad. But, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's nowhere in Auburn that wants to be open. Big Blue could be the location of the...
Now we're talking. Ryan, we're going to have you just get all in yellow and black and come watch a Dortmund game with me and Chief.
That's fine.
Big Blue Bagel. Get their paint up to sit in a bagel restaurant. Why are you getting yellow paint all over the wooden booth next to the John Coltrane poster?
Back to that home run, though, I think.
Wait, what? Back to the home run, the conversation Steve Williams we talked about.
Hit it 25 minutes ago?
Right yeah. I think, I mean, I can't be the only one that heard Rod's voice like in my head. That's where my mind went immediately when that ball came off that bat. And it was, I don't know. It wasn't sad.
No.
It was a happy moment.
For sure. And the idea, and the guys got the stickers on the back of their helmets.
Yeah.
For Rod. And I know, like, my sports math brain wants to say there's no such thing as momentum. And guys who are 250 hitters just hit 250 because that's what they are. They're 250 hitters. But
Steven Williams is more than a 250 right. hitter in this bad boy. He almost hit 600 yeah. in the regional.
But I'm telling you, there was something about this team that they got that sticker on the back of their helmet, and it was like they had something to prove or something to play for. And you never know. Like, you can't quantify something to play for.
It's either that or the Mohawks.
Yeah. If they win the College World Series, the three of us are going to get Mohawks.
Oh, yeah. Man.
If they win the College World Series.
I don't have much to...
Yeah. My hero of the week is Paul Allen and Brett Bowen and the crew for...
Paul Allen, calling the guy, this, Microsoft guy?
Yeah.
Not Paul Allen. Paul Allen.
No, they did a great job calling this weekend. That couldn't have been easy. But they did a great job. And I made it a point last night going into the ninth inning. It's like, I'm going to turn the TV off. I want to listen to this.
Yeah.
They were awesome. Props to them.
Yeah.
That's all I got
to
say.
Baseball's the game best listened to.
Oh, yeah. Even when, throughout, as you know, the Braves were on TBS every day.
Right.
And
the Superstation.
I was never really watching, though. I was just listening to Skip and
Pete.
Don Sutton and
Pete Van Wieren.
Yeah, Pete Van Wieren. I was listening to those guys rather than actually watching it.
Well, the Rangers had a guy named Eric Nadell. He's still the radio guy. And I used to go to sleep as a kid with the radio on with Eric Nadell. And so that, to me, like, that's what baseball sounded like and sounds like. When I hear his voice, like, oh, this is what baseball sounds like. And it's like Keith Jackson was what college football sounds like.
Yeah.
Rod is what Auburn sports sounds like to most people. Like, because most of us, well, I don't know most of us, I don't never listened to a single game Jim Fife did in my whole life. I don't know what his voice sounds like. No clue. But, so to me, Rod Ramblin is what every Auburn sport sounds like.
Yeah.
Every big event, everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds like. And so everything is going to sound different now.
Yeah.
And that's going to be weird.
It's going to be very weird. I don't know.
And like Marv Albert's retiring. I don't know if you guys know that. Most likely.
The guy that...
Marv Albert, who's... That's what the NBA sounds like to most people. Well, that's a 90s story. But yeah. So like, there's an era ending in broadcasting where guys who have been on and Rod, tragically ended.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at this crossroads... For me, we're like, every sport that I love is going to sound differently next fall.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Maybe they'll get Reggie Miller to do
it. He's only good because he's next to Marv now. He's not even good.
I really don't like Reggie.
Tolerable. The NBA has the worst announcing crews, period. But the best studio show. There's not the best.
The best show on television.
The best show on television is inside the NBA.
It's the best show. I would love to debate someone on, like, bring their show to the table. I'll bring mine.
Yeah. You know, mine is, it's Kenny, Chuck, Shaq, and Ernie Johnson.
Being themselves.
Like, they could be talking about horse racing or what they had for lunch yesterday.
Chicken wings.
Yeah. I'm in.
Shaq's got a pretty good podcast.
Shaq?
Yeah.
I've not ever heard Shaq's podcast.
Yeah, it's all right. It's Shaq being kind of funny.
I feel like Shaq's a hard voice to listen to if you can't see him.
It's actually not. I thought about
surprising. That too. Okay.
Does he sound so... He sounds massive.
Oh, yeah. He sounds like the biggest person on the planet. Which he is.
The thing about Shaq... I love Shaq, but he is always... he's always going for the laugh. Even if it makes no sense and his joke is just really dumb, he's going for the laugh.
Yeah. That's. I think that's just him.
Yeah.
In life.
And it's not like... I think because people, he's sports.
I think funny. He likes to make people laugh. I think right. that's what it is.
He's funnier than you imagine a basketball player right. would be. But he isn't like a comedian. But I think people have told him, oh man, you're really funny. So yeah. I think he thinks he's funny he is a comedian.
For well, yeah. someone that's not a comedian.
He was a footman do whatever yeah. he is that he's doing. Anything he does is funny.
Right. Chuck is actually funny. Chuck Barkley is an actually funny
unintentionally
person.
Sometimes.
right.
Oh, man.
Well, guys. What a good show. It's a great week.
Ernie's dad used to call Braves games, too.
Really?
Ernie Johnson.
He's like the Joe Buck of Atlanta.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, it's been a great podcast week. We hope to have another great one next week. I hope we have some good content for you. Hopefully some football, something.
I don't care.
Football's what pays the bills around here. I know that.
I don't care if we have football.
I know. I'd like to hear something.
I don't want to break the cereal music back out.
Well, I don't want that.
I hope no one has any communicable diseases this season.
Oh, my gosh, yes. All I want next week is how great would it be if Gus just like, yeah, I'm naming a starter. That's what I need. We need from Gus is like all of a sudden mid-June, he's just like, yeah, name a starter. It's going to be this guy. The guy he didn't know's on the team. That's the kind of content we need.
It's going to be Corey Sandberg. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man.
We know we're going to have next week. We're going to have a game. One of the three of us is going to come up with a game. We're going to play it next week for
play a board
season
game.
Content. Well, Nick, that's an audio.
We play Clue.
It's an audio format.
You can play Clue over audio? Come on.
Okay. Hey, we'll debate it.
Let's go to a Biscuits game.
Or we'll go to a Biscuits game for sure.
Either way. Jones? Oh, I wonder what Lydia's doing. Okay.
Lindiana James.
We never got feedback on
that. We never got feedback whether or not they liked us calling them Lindiana James or not.
Lindiana?
Didn't listen.
Dare she?
For that, and with that, that's going to be the end of the show. We love you.
Bye-bye.